This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Republican candidates who want a spot on the ballot for the New Hampshire primary have just two more days before hitting the filing deadline. Mitt Romney submitted his papers on Monday.
We've got great volunteers from all over the state. They're going to come together and turn out the vote on primary day. And of course, obviously, I hope to do real well here in New Hampshire.
And so far, he's been doing pretty well. The latest polls in New Hampshire give Romney a double-digit lead over all the other contenders.
But in the frenetic rise and fall of presidential primary politics, anything can change between now and January. So for a fresh look at the candidates and their campaign strategies in the Granite State, we're joined by WMUR-TV political director James Pindle. Hey there, James.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great. Great to have you back. So let me ask you, you've got a candidate tracker on your website that's counted the days that the candidates have been in the state. Mitt Romney, 29. Rick Santorum, 32. John Huntsman, 65. How much does it really matter the actual time on the ground a candidate has spent in New Hampshire?
It matters in big ways, and sometimes it's the most important factor. New Hampshire voters get to see these presidential candidates every 4 years, and in some ways it seems like it never stops. So the candidate that doesn't have the perception that they're on the ground, that they're trying to fight for every vote, suffers very badly.
So in that case, does it make sense that someone like Michelle Bachmann, who's made only 7 trips to New Hampshire, isn't doing so well?
Well, what is dramatic about that is that if we looked at our own polling at the station by the University of New Hampshire, Michelle Bachmann in July was in second place with 12%. And by that period, she was one of the most frequently traveled candidates. So she had been there 5 times. But since then, she's only been back twice, and her support dropped from July in 12% till now at 2%. So if you don't show up and continue to encourage your supporters, build support, show momentum, show that you care, you're going to suffer at the polls.
So tell us a little bit about Herman Cain. According to your polling, he is kind of gaining a foothold in New Hampshire.
That's right. Herman Cain spent a lot of time in the state, but right now, everything I just said, Herman Cain is proving to be the exception to the rule. He has not really spent much time here at all. He's been here just twice in the last couple of months, and that was last one was for the debate up in Dartmouth, and he really only did a couple of smaller events around that, but there's no question that he has a lot of national buzz and people in New Hampshire are interested in him. What's really going on here is that in New Hampshire, the interesting story is not who's in first place. That's been Mitt Romney all year long. The question has been who's in second. And that's been all kinds of different people from, you know, Donald Trump to Ron Paul to Rudy Giuliani, and now it's Herman Cain.
Well, in that case, I mean, given the fact that second place has shown to actually be quite an important spot in primaries in years past, what about how Rick Perry sees New Hampshire? I mean, he's coming this Friday to the state. Does how Romney's doing in the polls there affect how Perry's going to campaign in New Hampshire, or do you think he's going to focus his efforts elsewhere?
Well, look, the simple truth is that on our candidate tracker, he's not shown up to be coming to the state a lot because he's just been in the race a few months. But tactically speaking, which is what you're asking in terms of strategy, I mean, look, the easiest way to prevent Mitt Romney from being the nominee is to beat him in New Hampshire or to get really close to him in New Hampshire, and it seems as though you almost won the state. Rick Perry understands that. His national strategist, his Karl Rove, lives in New Hampshire and has been with him for over a decade. This is the state that they're going to take seriously and maybe possibly pull off a surprise.
In the last couple seconds we have, James, another way for a candidate to show up in New Hampshire is over the airwaves on TV, but only Ron Paul so far has bought any significant airtime in New Hampshire. So does that surprise you, given that we were just a couple months away from the primary?
It really does, particularly in the context of two people. Mitt Romney, who does have a 25-point lead in the state, do you think you just do some advertising just to lock it down and not have to worry about it? And second, John Huntsman, someone we barely mentioned at the beginning, he's all in New Hampshire. He's coming back for another long trip. And, you know, if you're going to be all in and you do have money and he has personal wealth, it is almost shocking that he has not gone on the airwaves as heavily as everyone else. But it's not just a story of New Hampshire. It's been everywhere else. The first major ad buy was just announced, just starting today in Iowa, and it's Rick Perry.
James Pindle is political director for WMUR-TV in New Hampshire. James, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, in New Hampshire, the battle for the local airwaves has barely begun, with just one presidential candidate, Texas Congressman Ron Paul, airing television ads so far. But on the internet, the attack ads are already in full force. Here's one from Mitt Romney, which features ABC's George Stephanopoulos going after Texas Governor Rick Perry.
Your opponents point out that unemployment has doubled during your tenure as governor and that about 65% of the Texas job gains since 2007 are actually government jobs. Is that the model for the country?
Well, I disagree with those numbers.
And here to talk about the current state of the GOP presidential campaign media is Radio Boston media analyst John Carroll. Hey, John.
Hey, Anthony.
So what's with those drums? That's what I want to know.
He's trying to get a tribal council together, I think. That's what the internet does. I mean, they're on the internet basically to rally the troops and to get people like us to talk about them.
And here we are talking about it. Let's dive right in here with this ad from Romney criticizing Perry on the jobs front. What's your take on this spot?
Well, this ad is titled The Facts, which should be in air quotes because he's playing pretty loose with the facts. Basically, the whole idea of the unemployment going up is true. Unemployment did double, but the idea that 65% of new jobs were government jobs is wrong. I mean, according to factcheck.org, it's 30%. So this is something where basically because they're not getting the kind of mass media scrutiny that they get when they run television ads, they can get away with quite a bit on the web.
So is that one of the big differences between these ads online versus the paid ads on air? Just not enough scrutiny, so they play a little looser with the facts.
Basically, they know that they're not going to get the same kind of attention. They're not going to be in the spotlight in the same way. But even so, when they go out on the air, you know, the fact check comes once. The ad runs over and over again. So basically, they can drown out any reality checks just by the sheer volume of the ads.
Of course, the Texas governor has launched some online ads of his own. Here he is going after Romney on what else? Healthcare.
How do you ensure the 45 or 50 million Americans who are not on the books?
Well, that's what we did in Massachusetts, and that is we put together an exchange, and the president's copying that idea. I'm glad to hear that.
I was asked, is this something that you would have the whole nation do?
Wouldn't you apply to the rest of the country?
I would.
And I said no.
So, John, this, of course, is Romney's sticky wicket. Give him credit for passing universal health care in Massachusetts. Don't blame him for the national health care reform bill that President Obama copied. Well, what's your take on this ad?
Yeah, I mean, he's got sort of a Rube Goldberg defense of Romney care. But this ad, which is titled Misleading, so again, we're through the looking glass because this is a Texas chainsaw edit that Rick Perry did. You know, I mean, he basically turned Romney's words upside down. So he's saying exactly the opposite of what he was communicating on these shows. So with creative editing, you can make anybody say virtually anything at this point and make it sound like he's opposed to something when he's for something. I mean, it's his own fault that his position is incredibly nuanced, but Rick Perry hasn't done the viewer any favors by presenting this in a really slanted light.
Well, it's hard to believe, but a presidential primary and caucus voting begins in less than 10 weeks. Why aren't we seeing more on-air advertising? Wouldn't we normally be seeing more paid spots by around now?
We certainly would. And one of the questions has been, why have Romney and Perry held off so long? Rick Perry actually just went up today with a paid ad in Iowa. Mitt Romney has been ambivalent about what he wants to do. He's strong in New Hampshire, so he didn't have to advertise up there. He wasn't sure he wanted to run at all in Iowa. Now he's thinking maybe he should jump in there. He'll probably spend some money in there to try to get on the radar screen there. But I think that everybody's been holding back because there was so much money spent in 2008, and a lot of it was wasted. A lot of the money didn't really need to be spent. So I think everybody's just a little more frugal this time around. The fundraising isn't quite as fruitful as it was last time around. So everybody's just sort of holding fire. Perry going on the air in Iowa today, I think that's going to open up the floodgates.
Well, here's another web ad that's gone viral in the past couple of days. It's by businessman Herman Cain, he of the 999 plan, who's riding pretty high in the polls these days. And it features his chief of staff, Mark Block. Let's listen.
Mark Block here. We've run a campaign like nobody's ever seen. But then America's never seen a candidate like Herman Cain. We need you to get involved because together we can do this. We can take this country back.
America.
Whoa, Oh, yeah. Gotta love the music. But, John, what listeners can't see is the big reveal on screen. What are we missing here?
What he does is he takes a drag off a cigarette and blows smoke directly at the camera. And he's a smoker, and his defense is there's nothing subliminal about this. He said, they told me, you know, let block be block. So I just did what I do.
But I smoke. It's a choice. It's block being block.
Yeah,
right? That's what he said.
Exactly. So, but I think the interesting part of this is Herman Cain's presidential campaign seems to be profoundly unserious. And I think that that's probably the greatest strength he has right now, is that he is not like other politicians. He's not a politician at all.
Yeah, he's famous for just sort of speaking his mind. Do you think that's sort of what's going on here, or was this a clumsy mistake? I mean, putting a guy smoking a cigarette in this day and age doesn't sound like a politically astute move.
I think this was really for more internal use than anything else, and I think it got away from them. But, you know, some people think it's brilliant, some people think it's stupid. I sort of think it's both. But I think that what happened was they realized that when it went viral, it wasn't giving them the best face to the public, and the reaction to it wasn't something that was really to their advantage. So they pulled it, but it's not off YouTube. I mean, nothing leaves YouTube permanently. So there's plenty of versions out there, even though they pulled their version off.
John Carroll, professor of mass communications at BU. He also blogs at campaignoutsider.com, and he's Radio Boston's media analyst. Thanks for coming in, John. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Anthony.
Well, up next, the state Senate votes to bring happy hour back to Massachusetts. Critics call the measure a short-sighted and potentially fatal error. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.